Hello, everybody, and welcome to a spontaneous sort of edition of Wise Choices. I was in Atlantic City, New Jersey over the weekend, 90s wrestling con, had a blast. But while I was laying in bed, it was around midnight, all of a sudden I'm getting these messages back and forth, and lo and behold, I found out my buddy Crowbar's got something he wants to talk about. So Crowbar, come on in, man. How are you?
How are you doing?
I couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. My ass is dragging a little bit. It was a long weekend. Missed a couple flights, so didn't get home until this morning. But other than that, man, I'm living the dream.
And I am also living a dream. Life is good. And as I've said many, many times in the past, and I will never stop telling you it, because of the opportunities you gave me, you have enabled me to have my own business, put a great down payment down on a house. For the almost 3-year opportunity I had in World Championship Wrestling, I owe you so much. Myself and my family always thank you.
Well, thank you. It's kind of you to say, but you know what? You did it. You and your wife did it. You built a great practice. So you're a chiropractor. What does your wife do?
Physical therapist. I'm a physical therapist. My wife is a registered dietitian.
Oh, I thought you were a chiropractor. Okay.
No, physical therapist.
Wow, good for you, man. So you, great business for both of you. Was your wife into physical therapy and in her line of work before you met, or is that how you met?
No, man, crazy story. And again, I don't like to get too preachy because people get weird. Had I not been released from World Championship Wrestling, I would have not made a trip down to Wilmington, Delaware, which was my old stomping grounds, ECWA, which was run by Jim Kettner. A lot of the East Coast guys cut our teeth there. And I went down there just to visit some friends after my release. And lo and behold, backstage, I met my wife, who at that time was an independent woman wrestler.
That is so awesome.
And 20 years later, we're still together, believe it or not. And we still work together regularly. This is real life here. This is my real job. I choose to wrestle. And way back in the day, this was not a fashionable thing to say. The veterans always said, don't let them know how much you love what you're doing. It's a business, this, that, and the other thing. I wear my heart right here, and I really don't care. I'm 50 years old. I believe I am probably the world's biggest pro wrestling fan. My wife loves pro wrestling, and we do it on our own terms. When we get to do it together on the independent scene, we have a great time. It's one of the things we bond over. We don't obsess. We don't become our characters or anything crazy like that. It's ever since I was about this high, I love this business. I love professional wrestling. And at 50 years old, I can say without shame and with my whole heart that I believe I'm the biggest wrestling fan. And it's something that my wife and I enjoy doing together. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I mean, some couples play pickleball, you know, some play golf, you know, whatever.
Sports are weird.
You guys wrestle. Kidding aside, man, that is such a great story. It's so fun to hear somebody that's been in the business and given a good part of their life to it, but have been able to successfully, graciously, and with gratitude move on, because there's other things out there other than wrestling. But so often I think people, you know, too many of us have gotten so wrapped up in it that that day comes and it's no longer a part of your life. You forget who you were. You don't know who you are anymore. And it's hard on a lot of people.
And I think a lot of the guys become not grateful for the opportunities that they have. I don't want to take up too much of the time, but I saw my very first independent professional wrestling match at Fairleigh Dickinson University in my hometown of Rutherford. It's now Felician University, but it was a packed house. Everything was up right close to the ring. Ted Petty wrestled that night as the Cheetah Kid. Mike Sharp was there. Afa was there. And I was blown away. And I believe I was a freshman or sophomore in high school at that time. And I said, if I could do just that on a somewhat regular basis, I would be more than happy, more than fulfilled. And fast forward to everything that I've gotten to do in professional wrestling, I've gotten more than I ever hoped for, more than I probably deserve to get. So there's nothing but gratitude on this end, and gratitude for to all the people that helped me do something in this business. I have gratitude for people that hate each other. I have so much gratitude for you for giving me the job. Jim Cornette did so much for me early on in my career. Had it not been for Vince Russo, there would never have been a Crowbar character. I was already in WCW being groomed to be a cruiserweight, but I never imagined that I would actually be given a professional wrestler entertainment type character to portray. So, I mean, that's just...
Well, that's just a healthy way to look at it, man. That way you can look back at it and smile instead of being bitter and angry and kicking puppies. And
and I think it's real important for the young guys. Whenever I talk to somebody in an independent wrestling locker room, they always ask, do you have any advice? And I think they're expecting something about wrestling or moves or this or that. And I always tell them, whether it's school, whether it's the family business, whether it's a trade, something, you have to find something else to do. And I usually say this, I had almost 3 years with, at that time, one of the two biggest wrestling companies on the planet Earth at that time. If you would be able to do that, would you be happy? And the majority of them say, yes, that'd be really, really cool. And then I follow that up by saying, but in that 3 years time, I in no way, shape or form made enough money to sustain me the rest of my life. There has to be life after it. There has to be something else. And the fact that I had something, I pursued physical therapy and independent wrestling through ECW, through WCW the first time when you brought me in to Nitro to wrestle Conan. I was a full-time student, so I pursued both these things at the same time. And that enables me, it empowers me at 50 years old to still be able to do it with no pressure under my own terms and genuinely be a guy that loves doing it and is not miserable because of what the business didn't give them or because of what the business didn't continue to give them.
Man, that's powerful, what you just said. I hope a lot of the young talent and maybe some of the not so young talent, you know, listen to that and open up a little bit to it.
And here's a huge thing. You go on YouTube or you'll hear people do motivational speeches about if you have this one goal, you got to put your entire life and everything into that goal. Otherwise, you're admitting that you're going to fail or you're going to be defeated. That's bullshit. I get really hot at stuff like that because for every great pro wrestler, for every great musician, comedian, actor, there's thousands upon thousands that just don't get the break and they don't make it. So maybe for the guy giving that speech, you got to put everything into it and you made it and that's friggin' great for you. But you're really misleading the thousands and thousands of people that won't get that break, no matter how good they are, just because that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So I believe you need two things, and I believe you can pursue two things effectively. I pursued physical therapy and independent wrestling at the same time. Physical therapy, very, very difficult curriculum, very difficult to get accepted into. And that was in the day when there was no such thing as online classes. You had to physically go. You had to study. Yeah. I remember that night I finished the match with Conan. I went back to my hotel room and I studied and I was in school the next day. So for the people that say it's too hard, you just don't want it enough. You got to find something else because otherwise down the line, if you don't make it, you're going to resent this thing that right now you love so much.
You're just nailing it here. You're just nailing it. You should edit this thing up, put it out there for as a public service to any would-be wannabe wrestlers out there. Or like any I said, some of them that have been around for a minute or two. All right, let's get into why we're here. So wrestling, as we know, it's all year round.
Of course.
It's 52 weeks a year. It's nonstop. I don't even know how many hours WWE does anymore. I guess five in prime time. AEW, I don't know, are they up to six, five or six, whatever they've got. There's just so much wrestling going on.
Yep.
52 weeks a year. Now, I understand that sometimes people pick up ideas and they modify an idea here or modify an idea there, but this isn't about what we're going to talk about. Why don't you back us up a little bit and give us some background?
Okay. So I started this whole timeless persona around COVID, actually. In December of 2019, I came up with this cool idea. It was myself, my wife, and believe it or not, this is crazy, had this big gentleman come into my practice, Army veteran, and he came in as a patient, not a wrestler at all, but a wrestling fan. Didn't recognize me right away because I had my hair pulled back. I had glasses on that day. It was a lazy day. Just couldn't get the contacts in, yada, yada, yada. Fast forward many years later, I hope for good. I get him involved in professional wrestling, and he takes on the part of my bodyguard slash tag team partner here. And a great, great guy, legitimate U.S. Army veteran, big son of a bitch, so strong. So we get an opportunity from Kevin Eck to go wrestle for Ring of Honor, which was in Philadelphia. They let us do this whole gimmick, extravagant entrance, yada, yada. We do a second show in January, and we're having a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the opportunity, having a lot of fun, really going after it at that point. And then COVID hits and the world shuts down. And because I have this, and because I live in New Jersey, if you were to go out to a public place or a show, there were shows going on that time. There were people social distance, they were wearing masks, this, that, the other thing. And but if you would go out and attend an event like that, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks. If you went away on vacation somewhere, the state wanted you to quarantine for 2 weeks. And that was something that I could not do. This was my business. So that wasn't an option for me. As much as I love professional wrestling and wanted to do it, that wasn't an option at all. So I started toying around with these promos, these timeless promos. I had a look, I had a group, I had a kind of idea, but never really delved into.
Did anybody see that? At the time you're playing with this timeless character,
yes.
Is it out there in the public eye?
So during COVID, I do my first timeless promo, and I had not played around with Twitter at all at that time, but I needed something to do. So I actually throw a promo out there. It's not doing that great because I'm not that active on Twitter. And when I would tweet on Twitter, some of the new kids, you know, the fans would say, "Who are you, Boomer?" So the first promo, and if you watch it now, it's horrific, but was entitled "Who Are You, Boomer?" Didn't get a lot of views until I got a response from a Cody Rhodes, who ? Which gave it a lot of visibility.
Sure.
That probably would have been the last promo because I don't know. It was just something to do, but that made this promo explode. So it became something that I did on a weekly basis, pretty much from 2020.
How does it compare to? Because obviously, what we're talking about here. Let's get right to it.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Is that the timeless Toni Storm promo and a subsequent promo that we just saw over the weekend are both, to be fair at this point and generous, yeah, derivatives of some of your earlier work. Did they tell me about the physical, I mean, the production of it. I mean, black and white, color, setting, tone.
So
are they close?
I thought of the timeless. I thought black and white, old time film with like the line going through and stuff like that. I thought that would be cool. It hadn't been done before. So that became the premise for all these promos. They were in wine cellars. They were in libraries.
Were they in black and white? Were they in black and white?
Okay. Black, they were always black and white. They were always old time music or classical music. And this went on for years really, since 2020. And what is cool being the way that I am, when you come up in the business, you're always afraid to walk on eggshells. You're always afraid to say this, to say that. Being at this point in my life where I'm at now and having nothing riding on for it, it made me very brave to comment on things that were happening currently in pro wrestling. So it was kind of like a work shoot thing. I clearly don't talk like the character in the video, but the premise of it was this classy, smart guy drinking wine, black and white, old time photo, yada, yada, yada. And down the road, we see Thomas Tony Storm pop up, black and white, old time film, yada, yada, yada. And let me state this, because we're doing this. I think I pulled my promos off so well that a lot of the younger guys on the shows actually think that that's me and how I act. And before I meet them, they think I'm an asshole. And I'm just a happy-go-lucky guy like that. So when things get borrowed, if this was my life, if this was what I was aspiring to pay my bills with, I'd probably be hot. But it's not. But it gives me a premise to have fun, call out some shit that a young guy might be afraid to in pro wrestling, and give myself a little chuckle.
Well, and it's, you know, I will say, and again, I haven't said
it is wrestling. People the two borrow and, stuff all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, it's cool that you're taking it the way you're taking it, because it's hurtful. You know, if I would imagine if somebody would have given you a call and say, hey, Crowbar, that stuff you used to do, that timeless thing, we kind of dig it. Do you mind if we let that kind of take us into a direction? Would you mind, you know, and I know you would have said, hell no, hey man, thank how you about very it? Much.
Yeah.
But it is personal. You know, it's so hard in the entertainment business in general, but in wrestling, as we know, you know better than I, it's so hard to find that unique thing, that one characteristic that defines your character that is unique to you, that we haven't seen 100 times since last week. You know what I mean? It is hard. It is. I would imagine it's a little bit like, again, I can't relate to this personally because I was never a wrestler, but if you've developed a finish that's unique to you and it gets over and somebody else down the road wants to use that finish, there's a correct way to go about that.
Sure. But it happens every day though, you know,
in the correct way is to acknowledge, just acknowledge and ask permission. You know what I mean? That's just the courteous thing to do. But to take somebody's, in your case, this was intellectual property, and we saw a clip there just a moment ago. It's intellectual property. It's not real property. It's not a car. It's not a wallet. It's not a phone. But it's intellectual property, and it has equal, in my case, I believe it has more value.
Yeah. And about a year and a half into the timeless thing, I did have the opportunity to work for AEW on their dark program when they went to Philadelphia. I was Crowbar. They send you the form and they ask you about your character, ask you about what you do and this and the other thing. And I gave my history and who trained me and how many years I'm involved, yada, 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 all that good stuff. But I also put the timeless gimmick on it, known as Timeless. Wow. The idea originally given to me, and people ask where I came up with this. And prior to 2019, that Ring of Honor run, I had one or two shots for Ring of Honor when Jim Cornette was there, probably around 2012. And Jim, as I said in the past, had done so much for me. And he brought me in because Jim knows just that I enjoy wrestling. And I was getting dressed in the back, and I guess I was in halfway decent shape, I guess, looking decent for my age. And he goes, oh, fuck, the timeless Devin Storm, my old name.
Sure.
And that was in 2012, but it always resonated and it always got put back there. It was stored on the flash drive. And it came to be in 2020. So that's when people ask where the moniker came from. It was a compliment paid to me by Jim Cornette that was stored away and brought out later.
That's cool. Well, yep. Like I say, it would have been nice had someone just picked up the phone and given you the courtesy and the respect, because that's what the business is about. It is sure. about respect, particularly with talent. It would have been nice, but yeah. so it's cool that you're taking it as well as you are.
Yeah, so I actually had a match there, pitched the moniker and all the stuff, and it just wasn't used. I thought I did really, really well. Worked with Joey Janela, who he's a great guy, one of my favorite people. I enjoy.
Wait a minute. Now, just a new piece of information. So you actually submitted the timeless idea,
yeah,
visuals and everything that went with it.
And I actually did a promo.
See, this is getting a little dicier now. Now it's starting to sneak a little worse.
When you go to do extra work or dark work or nightly work, they give you this thing to fill out: your height, weight, who trained you, how many years experience, you know, WCW, you know, hardcore, a cruiserweight tag champ, yada yada. And there's something on there. Tell us about yourself. So I go on currently using the moniker Timeless. I sent ahead a bunch of my black and white promos, and after it aired, I actually aired a black and white Timeless promo thanking Mr. Tony Khan.
Whoa. I try so hard whenever we talk about anything regarding AEW or Tony Khan to be as gracious, and maybe overly so for me.
Again, if I was depending on this to feed my family, I'd be really, really hot. But
no, but this is about respect now. This isn't about the money. You don't need it. You don't need this job, the wrestling job, because you do have a business. You're a professional. You've been doing it for a long time. You get to do it with your wife, which is even cooler, by the way. And you don't have to ask permission to set up a camera. You can just do it because you're the boss. It's awesome. But there should have been some respect from Tony Khan. I mean, it's just a phone call, Tony. Yeah.
The really cool part of all this and having this talk with you is when you're younger in the business, coming up, you're on eggshells. You're afraid to say the wrong thing. You do get wronged here and there, and you're afraid to call it out. And at this stage of the game, that's not there at all. I remember, you probably don't remember, when I had that mullet and I came to Nitro for the first time, you spoke with me in the stands about me coming in and, you know, telling me about what the style was going to change, the car crash match. You probably don't remember. I was friggin' petrified. I was always an awkward kid. I was a horrific stutterer growing up, so I probably didn't say much, and I still did at that time. I still do now from time to time. But you always, when you see somebody in person or whether you did an interview with like a dirt, you were always worried about saying the wrong thing,
sure,
even if it was the truth. And it's really cool now that I could come on here with, I can't believe I'm on the same show with Eric Bischoff. It's crazy. It's surreal. I'm sorry it is. And I could speak my mind, and it's a whole lot of fun, and I don't have to worry about shit.
I mean, there's certain things about getting older that actually work out pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where you decide what's important, what's really not important, and you can start having fun with the non-important shit because you just don't care anymore.
And I'll say this too, the really cool part, I'll get these rabid fans spewing venom because I said this, and they'll call you washed or old timer. I sent you the clip. At 50 years old, I believe I am more athletic, and I believe I'm faster and a better worker at 50 than I was in my 20s. One of the huge reasons, my knees were shot my entire professional wrestling career. I blew them out in high school, which is what got me interested in physical therapy. And nobody knows this about me. You are the first person. 9 years ago in September, I had both my knees replaced. So all that crazy shit I'm doing, is on two knee replacements.
That's insane, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And I feel great. And so when they come out with the wash or this, that, I copied a link here. I guarantee you, you're 23, 24, or a teenager, and you can't do any of this shit. You just can't. And I'm not being snarky. It's just the truth.
All right, man. Before we wrap up here, I'm sure we got some questions for you. So, Super Dave, we got some Crowbar questions. Here we go. Hey, Crowbar, what was your favorite match to be involved in? Also, who was your favorite performer to work with in the ring?
Well, one of my favorite matches, I would love to say it was in WCW, but it's not, unfortunately, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Right after WCW, there were two matches that stand out as probably the most exciting and best matches in my career. During a time when he was temporarily let go of from WWE, I got to wrestle with Eddie Guerrero at the famous New York's Elks Lodge. It's on YouTube. You could find it. We work with Eddie, me and my wife both. We go about 20 minutes. He sells for my wife with a tornado DDT. He hits her with a couple things, and we have a wild drag out ECW-esque, Japanese-esque smart mark match. And to this day, that's probably the best match, wrestling match, in my entire career. Also, after WCW, World Wrestling All-Stars started up, and it was around for about 2 years, maybe. They had shows in Europe, in Australia, and also the United States. This match is also on YouTube, real easy to find. A cage match that I did with Sabu, which included me jumping from the top of the cage to the floor through two tables. Even back then, I was super concerned about safety. It was a straight drop. No way the tables could tip. I'm always a safety guy. So if you watch that thing closely, it's safe. That was one of my favorite matches. But if I go to WCW, I had several matches with Vampiro, who I loved working with. But as a fan, as a wrestling fan, on the last Starrcade, I got to wrestle Terry Funk. Starrcade, for the fans that don't know, WCW's version of WrestleMania. I got to wrestle Terry Funk for the hardcore belt, who I literally idolized. Terry Funk. I got to wrestle him for a title at Starrcade, and no one could ever take that away.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Super Dave, you got another one? Erica Crowbar, greetings from a WCW, WCCW lifelong wrestling fan. Crowbar, do you still have the crowbar you carried to the ring? And Eric, I know you have a black belt. Did you wish you competed in competitions? Well, I did compete for many years. Actually fought on ESPN, fought in tournaments all over the country. So yeah, I did compete. But what about you, Crowbar? Do you still have the crowbar you used to carry to the ring?
A common misconception is that I carried a crowbar to the ring. I really did not. At first, it was a steel pipe. And there were two pipes in my career, and I have both of them still. It was kind of a rib. At that time, it was pre-9/11, but I think it was a rib. They made me carry it through the airport. So I would always get stopped because it looked like I was carrying a rusty pipe around.
So how did you explain it? Because it's kind of tough to explain why you're bringing a fucking lead pipe onto an airplane. Well,
I looked like a wrestler. I don't look like a normal person. And they picked it up, and it's a prop. So they ripped me by exposing the business to airport security. But it was they're both props. Once they picked them up, they saw that it was a kayfabe pipe, and they let me on my way, but I'm pretty sure it was a rib.
Who gave you the kayfabe? Was that a WCW thing? Who gave that?
Yeah, they actually had the Hollywood props back then.
Oh wow!
For a short time.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't sound. That sounds a little too organized for WCW then.
No, they actually had two Hollywood prop pipes, and then for a short while when Kevin Sullivan came back into power. You know, he's very old school, wants things to look legit. He wanted me to carry a real pipe. So I had to get more skilled at pulling it so that I didn't murder anybody at the time.
That's so nice. Okay.
And then they went back to the props again.
Any more, Super Dave? Just step collective 303. Can you talk about the wall? The wall, choke slam off the stage.
Yes, that was at a time when you weren't there. Big Jerry Toot. I actually had my first professional wrestling match at Iron Mike Sharp's school in a battle royal that he was in it. And then we worked at Iron Mike Sharp's school weeks later at the shows that they had for the families of the students and all this stuff. And to show up in WCW years later with my good friend, and we would have this conversation, how surreal it was that we were there. There were actually two big bumps with the wall. I forget the exact date. One was on Thunder, and I call this, I challenge anybody to prove me different. It is the greatest choke slam of all time. The wall gets me on the apron. We're both outside the apron. He grabs me by the pants, grabs me by the throat. We had the time. I would never do this knowing what I know now, by the way, but at that time, you just want to get over. You'll do whatever. Pants, throat, and we both go down. We both jump. We get air. We go out 6-8 feet, whatever the distance was to the announce table, and he puts me perfectly through it. The freeze frames that they had at that time were incredible. The height looked incredible, but he was so strong that he didn't jump down and drag me through the table. We were joined. We were one unit. We had to time this so perfectly. So much could have went wrong. I would never do it again, but we somehow got out, went through the announce table, and it looked amazing. And then that bump was followed up by a bump off the side of the Tron, much, much higher, but it was a large platform for me to fall through, and it was just a straight drop. Very way safer, although it was way higher.
Sure.
The first bump was so much coordination, down, up, out, and hope both these guys stayed together. I have no idea how he didn't blow both his knees out doing it. It really was amazing to watch. But I was real excited getting to do that with Jerry Toot, God rest his soul. We started off Mike Sharp's gym, and then many, many years later on, you know, one of the two biggest companies in the entire world. Grateful. Just another thing, Eric, unbelievably grateful for the experience, and also grateful I didn't get killed. Would never do it today.
No. Super Dave, how we doing? Hey, Crowbar, New Jack in an interview said you were one of the coolest guys in the ECW locker room. Any fond memories of New Jack?
So, as I said before, and I've said this on many interviews, I went to ECW after my first stint with you guys, when you guys brought me in nightly. I did the Conan match. I wrestled Eddie Guerrero on Saturday night, and then I just wasn't getting used that much. So I went to ECW. I believe part of the allure of it was so that they could get a guy from WCW, even though it was only two matches, and beat him and stuff. But I got there, and let's just say that college student Chris Ford with ADD and a bad stutter did not fit well into the ECW culture. Not at all. I had some heart, but I tell everybody, New Jack was always cool to me. We never hung out. Maybe he just liked the fact that I hung out and I minded my own business, and I don't know. He just liked me for some reason. Him and Tommy Dreamer were always super nice to me. But outside of that, I was the redheaded stepchild of ECW. I had my books stolen, had my books thrown into garbage. when I was probably the first guy to bring a video game system to the hotel. And when all the guys were going out to party, I said, nah, I'm going to do my homework and I'm going to play some video games. I had my video game system kicked across the hotel room. I'm not going to say who, because the person's dead. So it's just, but,
did you do it?
What I will say, and my time there was almost a year. It really tested my mettle. It made me question whether or not I really wanted to do this or not. And I could say without question, my time there, it made me a better wrestler, but it also prepared me for life, because life's not easy. A lot of shit comes up here or there, and it gave me the option to walk away from something that I love just because people were being assholes, and I chose not to. Thank God that I didn't. It made me a better, stronger person, and I'll always be thankful for that time.
You're an amazing guy.
Thank you, Eric.
You know, it's funny. We worked together for a while. Never really got a chance to get to know you. I've spent
probably
more time
scared to talk to you.
I've spent more time talking to you in the last year and a half than I probably did the whole time we worked together. So yeah. I'm glad I've had the opportunity. Grobar, thank you for telling your story. Tony Khan, do the right thing, brother. Come on, be a man. Put on your big boy pants. Pick up the phone. Just give this man his props. Grobar, thank you very much. Super Dave, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
See ya. Thanks so much.